certainly enjoyed this one. And we hate to see it come to an end, but we'll bring it back home with us. We do request your prayers for our church and our building situation, the rental situation that we're in, that the Lord would provide us with a building. We're not complaining. The Lord has been very good to us. But we do request your prayers. Our landlord wants us to pay $1,100 a month, and we can't pay that. And we give him what we can, and we're thankful that God has let us stay there for as long as he has. But do pray for us that the Lord would provide us with a building of our own. We do covet your prayers. I'd like today to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Book of Matthew, chapter 26. We'd like to begin reading with verse 57, reading down through verse 68. Matthew 26, verses 57 through verse 68. And they that had laid hands on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off on the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priest and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses, and said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days." And the high priest arose and said unto him, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, "I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, we have heard his blasphemy. What think ye?" They answered and said, "He is guilty of death." Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is it that smote thee?" We're going to take our message this afternoon from verse 64. And we just want to consider two words that we find in that 64th verse. And we read in these verses how our Lord Jesus Christ was brought before Caiaphas, the high priest, and pronounced guilty. And we see that Caiaphas said to Jesus, "Tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus replied, "Thou hast said." He then proceeded to reveal the fact that he would soon sit at the right hand of God. Jesus then proceeded to set forth precious truths of the faith. He claimed to be Christ. He claimed to be the Son of God. He speaks of the exaltation at the right hand of God and his second coming to judge the world. But again, we just want to consider two words today in that 64th verse. Nevertheless, hereafter. Nevertheless, hereafter. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the Son of God." Now the word "nevertheless" means exactly what it says. Nevertheless. Truth is never the less. What it means. Hereafter, of course, is anything beyond the present. Nevertheless, hereafter. Truth is nevertheless sure. Hereafter. Now, if we consider the context of these words, we see that at this time, Jesus was a spectacle of suffering, led by his captors as like a lamb to the slaughter, with none to speak a word on his behalf. He was surrounded by those who hated him. He had been forsaken by his friends. The scribes and the Pharisees and the priests were all thirsting for his blood. And yet, though his present condition seemed to contradict it, he said, "Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting clothed at the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven." In other words, despite my present shame, despite my present suffering, so shall it be. So shall it be. The humiliation of Christ, the suffering of Christ, did not in the least endanger the after glory of Jesus Christ. His sufferings, his shame, his death did not render it any less certain that he would ascend to the throne. So we see Jesus was about to be condemned by the religious authorities. The scribes had declared that he had blasphemed. Yet Jesus says, "Nevertheless, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man at the right hand of power." The high priest gave judgment that it was necessary for him to put him to death. We see that they were unanimous in their condemnation. Yet all of this did not rob Christ of his deity. It did not rob Jesus Christ of his throne. And there he stands. And there all the great ones are standing around him. All the men of authority. All the men of reputation. All the men of sanctity. And all the men of pomp. And they unanimously deny the claims of Jesus Christ. But Jesus says, "Nevertheless, hereafter." Nevertheless, hereafter. We see that he was surrounded by those who were in possession of earthly power. We see at this moment his cause seemed to be at its lowest. He had none to stand up in his defense. He had none to speak a word in his behalf. But we hear Jesus saying, "Nevertheless, hereafter." In spite of my present condition, in spite of what things may appear, nevertheless, hereafter. We see that they desire to put Jesus Christ to death. We read that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We know that he came to be made a curse for us. We know that he willingly submitted to the suffering. He willingly submitted to the scorn. And he remained as a sheep before his slaughters. He allowed his own creatures to pluck his hair and spit in his face. And in a little while, Jesus Christ would bow his head. In a little while, Jesus Christ would lay down his life and his enemies would rejoice. But Jesus said, "Nevertheless, hereafter." We see that they were to make every precaution to guard the grave of Jesus Christ. Notice over in the book of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew 27, verse 62. "Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, 'Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last there shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. But in spite of all the efforts of man, Jesus arose from that grave triumphantly. The resurrection of Christ was nevertheless sure. No matter what they did, they could not keep the Son of God in that grave. And though he was despised, and though he was rejected of men, there was no power that could keep him in that grave. Why? Because Jesus had come to rescue you and I. He had come to rescue us out of the tyranny and dominion of sin. He had come to seek and to save that which was lost. He had came to seek and to save his sheep. He had come to save his lost sheep from a state of death into a state of life. He came to bring us from a state of condemnation into a state of justification. He came to bring us from a state of slavery into a state of liberty, and nothing could keep Jesus Christ in that grave. He said, nevertheless, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man. You see, they desired to put an end to Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, he sits right now at the right hand of God as the one who has paid the price of our redemption, as the one who has performed the utmost requirements of the law. And no doubt when they crucified Jesus Christ, they thought that they had defeated Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, he now sits at the right hand of God, as the overcomer of his foes. They thought that they had won the battle. But nevertheless, he has overcome the world. They thought they had the victory. But nevertheless, he has overcome the devil. He has spoiled principalities and powers. He has taken away the power of death. Nevertheless, hereafter, though he was despised and rejected of men, he now sits at the right hand of God interceding for his people. He now sits at the right hand of God as the King of Kings. He now sits at the right hand of God as the Lord of Lords. He now sits at the right hand of the throne of God. He now sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. You see, Jesus Christ is no child of poverty now. He sits at the right hand of God as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's no jeering crowds around him now. There's no stones taken up to cast at him now. He sits at the right hand of God as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Nevertheless, hereafter, in spite of the desires of the devil and in spite of the desires of sinful man, Jesus Christ is never the less than God. He has never been less than God. He is Jesus Christ, the brightness of the Father's glory. He is the express image of the Father's person. Nevertheless, he is the Lord from heaven. Nevertheless, he is the heir and owner of all things and has dominion over all things. Nevertheless, he is the Lord of glory. He is the Lord of hosts. He is Lord as we speak today. Nevertheless. Now apply that word to the child of God. Nevertheless, we today, as God's people, have a sinful nature dwelling within us. And because of that, you and I sin. And we rebel against God. And we wander from the Lord. And our sins today are many. And our failures are many. But nevertheless, in Christ, we are absolved from all charges. Though our sins are many, though our failings are many, nevertheless, in Jesus Christ, we are accepted. Amen. Though our failures are many, nevertheless, in Christ, we have redemption. Amen. Nevertheless, in Jesus Christ, we have inheritance. We are weak, but nevertheless, in Christ, there is grace. We are a needy people. Nevertheless, in Jesus Christ, there is that which is sufficient for our need. We as God's people live in this ungodly, unkind world, which however it may love its own, hates the things of Jesus Christ. We now dwell in the place of trial, in the place of temptation, where every means will be taken by the enemy of our souls to draw us aside. And we see that this world in which we live, the corruptions of this world are very strong, and our enemies are very numerous. The devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But nevertheless, you and I are to live for the one who saved our soul. In the book of Galatians, chapter 2, in verse 20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Crucified with Christ, but life is not less. How many times today we get to thinking that the Christian life and submitting to Jesus Christ is a life less than what the world lives. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Amen. The life which we live should not be less. It should be the abundant life. We, of course, need to be crucified to sin. We need to be crucified to this world. We need to be crucified to the friendship of this world and the things of this world and the pollutions of this world. But nevertheless, we're to live. We're to live. As children of God in the world, we live in a body of flesh. And therefore, we are subject to many temptations. We are subject to trials. We are subject to tribulation. The Bible says we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. But no matter how steep the mountain may be, no matter how dark the way may be, no matter how large the enemy may be, nevertheless, God remains God. God is nevertheless than God. He is never less. No matter how steep that mountain may be, no matter how deep the waters may be, Jesus says, nevertheless, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. It doesn't matter how deep they are. God is nevertheless than God. Amen. Nevertheless, God remains the same. However deep the waters may be, however strong the winds are blowing, however many the fires we may have to pass through, Jesus Christ is nevertheless. It's always the same yesterday, today, and forever. We'll have many Red Seas to cross, but all the Red Seas that you and I have already crossed, God is never the less. Never has been. And all the Red Seas that still lie out there for you and I to cross, God is never the less. We'll have many Jordan Rivers to cross. We'll have many Pharaohs to go up against. We'll have many Goliaths to go up against. We'll have many Canaanites that we have to defeat. We'll have many Jerichos that we have to walk around. But God is never the less. He'll never be less than the sovereign creator and sovereign ruler of this universe. Amen. He'll never be less than that. Nevertheless, whatever Sauls we may have to contend with, whatever Babylons we may have to contend with, whatever how many dens of lions we may have to stay in for a while, God is nevertheless. Nevertheless. No matter what appearances are, he says, nevertheless, I am with thee. Now, if we're honest, sometimes it appears that he's not there. But he says, nevertheless, I'm with thee. We can be sure of that today. Whatever the appearances might be, he says, I am with thee. Be not dismayed. For I am thy God. No matter what I have to go through, no matter what you have to go through, he says, I am thy God. Amen. He'll never be less than that. No matter what circumstances, no matter what appearances might be. The mountains may be steep, the waters may be deep, the wind may be blowing hard. But God says, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yes, the waters are deep, but nevertheless, I will strengthen thee. Nevertheless, I will help thee. And I will uphold thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. We know today that the world is dark with lust. Men are lovers of pleasures, lovers of their own selves. They're covetous. They're boasters. They're proud. They're blasphemers. They're disobedient to parents. They're unthankful. They're unholy. They're without natural affection. They're truce breakers. They're false accusers. They're despisers of those that are good. They're traitors. They're heady. They're high-minded. They're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. But in spite of all of these things, in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19, we read, nevertheless, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Whatever our circumstances might be today, the foundation of God is nevertheless sure. It remains the same. That means there's always something substantial. That means there's always something for you and I to abide in. There's always something that is around us that is sure and steadfast. And that is God. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. God is reigning and ruling and has all things under his control. And all things are moving according to his purpose. He is working all things after the counsel of his own will. So no matter what our circumstances may be today, nevertheless, the Word of God remains true. This is nevertheless God's Word. Whatever you and I might believe on it, or whatever anybody else might believe on it, does not make it any less the Word of God. No matter what happens, it'll never be less than God's Word. There have been many attempts. We know Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 9, he said, wherein I suffer trouble, trouble as an evildoer. Even under bonds, the word of God is not bound. Never anything less than God's word. There have been many attempts to bind the word of God. Throughout history, the preachers of the word have been hunted to death. They have wandered about in sheepskins. They've been destitute. They've been afflicted. They've been tormented. But the word of God has never been bound. It's never been bound. You see, today, the rulers may not believe. And the philosophical minds do not believe. In addition to this, public opinion rejects the word of God, but God's word is nevertheless God's word. You and I must never, ever forget that public opinion is not the gauge of truth. This is the gauge of truth, and it will never be less than God's word. Whether you and I believe it or not does not change God's word. Whether our government believes it or not does not make this any less than God's word. It is nevertheless God's word. We know that the world has imprisoned the apostles. They stoned Stephen. They cast John in the Isle of Patmos. But nevertheless, the message remained the same. And we know today that immorality is rampant. Sin is rampant. But nevertheless, the word of God remains the same. It's never anything less than God's word. Today our society looks upon adultery and fornication as acceptable lifestyles, but nevertheless, they are now and forever will remain sinful. They will never be less. They will never be anything less than sin. Adultery will never be anything less than sin. Fornication will never be anything less than sin. Rebellion, murder, take any sin you want to, it'll never be less than sin. God's word remains the same. Today our society does not want to recognize the biblical position of husband and wife. Nevertheless, that doesn't change the message of God. Today our society advocates immodest dress. Nevertheless, the word of God remains the same. Today the religious world ignores biblical missions under the authority of New Testament Baptist churches. Nevertheless, the truth is the same. Truth will never be anything less than truth. It'll never be anything less than it is right now. It'll always remain the truth. You see, unbelief and rejection of God's word does not alter the message. You may not believe God's word. You may attempt to keep His word closed. You may never look into it. You may decide to never go where it is preached or read. You may decide not to give it any heed whatsoever. But it'll never be anything less. Whatever you do with it today, it'll still never be anything less than God's word. Whatever our society does with it today, it'll never be anything less than what it is right now. God's word. So whatever circumstances may be, whatever appearances may be, God's word is nevertheless than God's word. The preacher may become ill. Nevertheless, God's word remains the same. The preacher may go home to be with the Lord. Nevertheless, the word of God remains the same. Worldliness and infidelity and superstition, they've all been going up against the word of God for years. Nevertheless, the word of God continues on. God will never be anything less than God. Jesus will never be anything less than Jesus, the Son of God. Truth will never be anything less than truth. We also read another word here, hereafter. Nevertheless, hereafter. Right now, you and I are in the place of trial. But nevertheless, hereafter, we shall be with the Lord forever. There's nothing that can make that any less sure. Nevertheless, hereafter, we'll be forever with the Lord. Though we are subject to many temptations, and though we are subject to many sins, nevertheless, hereafter, our vile bodies are going to be fashioned like unto His glorious body. There's nothing that can change that today. Amen. Nevertheless, hereafter. Nevertheless, hereafter, we are going to be free from all sin. Oh, here in this life, we're always battling with sin. We're always sinning and rebelling against God. But nevertheless, hereafter, we're going to be set free from sin. Never again to see a single sin. Never again to commit a single sin. Never again to grieve the Spirit of God. Never again to rebel against the Spirit of God. Never again to rebel against the Son of God. Nevertheless, hereafter, we're going to be set free. Amen. From all sin. And it'll never be less than that. Nevertheless, hereafter, we are going to be freed from all the effects of sin. There, nevertheless, hereafter, there's going to be no more death. Nevertheless, hereafter, there's going to be no more sorrow. Nevertheless, hereafter, there's going to be no more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, because the former things are passed away. Nevertheless, hereafter, there isn't anything that can change that today. Here we must deal with our sinful flesh. But nevertheless, hereafter, that corrupt nature is going to be removed. Amen. And our nature shall be pure and sinless. Here we often live in defeat. But nevertheless, hereafter, we're going to stand before the throne of God victorious. There isn't anything that can change that. Our victory will never be less than sure. Amen. Nevertheless, hereafter, there's going to be blessing without curse. There's going to be life without death. There's going to be joy without sorrow. There's going to be light without darkness. There's going to be glory without suffering. Nevertheless, hereafter. But in closing, we also want to speak a word to the unsaved sinner. Right now, you live your life saying you know that someday you're going to die, but you don't really believe it. You say you know you're going to die one day, but believing, you never will. May I say to you, nevertheless, you're going to leave this life. Amen. Nevertheless, you're going to leave this life. What does the hereafter hold for you. You're going to leave this life. Where are you going to be hereafter? You may sit here today and you may say, well, everything will be all right, because I'm not really that bad. But nevertheless, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, everything will be all right because I've been baptized and I go to church and I try. I try hard to do what is right. But nevertheless, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. Where are you going to be hereafter? Unsaved sinner, today you live your life without much thought about your soul. Without much thought about God. But nevertheless, hereafter, you're going to meet Him. Nevertheless, hereafter, you're going to meet Jesus Christ. You may say, well, I really don't believe that Jesus is Lord. But nevertheless, hereafter, you're going to stand before Him. In Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, we read of that great white throne judgment. So, lost sinner, nevertheless, hereafter, you're going to stand before a great white throne. There's no throne like it. None like it. There is not a single stain upon it. It is unsoiled. It is untainted. It is incorruptible. There'll be no bribery there. Amen. Nevertheless, hereafter, you are going to stand before the great white throne judgment. And He who sits upon that throne, He who has universal dominion, sits upon that throne. He who sits upon that throne is pure. He who sits upon that throne is the great God of heaven and earth. He who sits upon that throne is the eternal King, the immortal one, the very God whose presence melts mountains and made Sinai to shake. That's the one that'll be sitting on that throne. Nevertheless, hereafter, you're going to meet Him. Nevertheless, hereafter, you're going to stand before Him. You say, well, I'm not worried about it. Nevertheless, hereafter, there's coming a day when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Whether you believe it or not. You say, well, I don't really believe in hell. I don't really believe in eternity. But nevertheless, hereafter, except you repent, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire forever. You say, well, I don't believe that. Nevertheless, hereafter. Nevertheless, hereafter. You may say, well, I know I need to be saved. And one day I'm going to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. But nevertheless, you know not what a day may bring forth. This may be your last day. This may be the last message you ever hear. This may be the last opportunity you ever have. So I've got time. Nevertheless, in spite of what you might think, you have no idea how much time you have or how little time you may have. You see, in spite of what you might believe today, Jesus Christ is the only road to God. He's the only road to God. You see, man is lost in sin. And he's not only lost in sin, but he doesn't know the way back to God. Jesus said, I'm the way. Whatever you might believe today, Jesus Christ is the way. You say, I'm so guilty. Yes, you are. But Jesus Christ is the way from the guilt of sin. You say, oh, I'm such a slave to sin. Yes, you are. But Jesus Christ is the way from the power of sin. You say, I deserve the wrath of God. Yes, you do. But Jesus is the way from the wrath of God. You see, Jesus Christ right now is the way to the Father. Jesus Christ right now is the way to acceptance with the Father. Jesus Christ right now is the way to fellowship with the Father. Right now, Jesus Christ is the perfect way right now. Right now, Jesus Christ is the free way. But he's also the permanent way. If the Lord gives you another day and allows you to live tomorrow, Jesus Christ will still be the way. And if the Lord lets you live 5 years from now, Jesus Christ will still be the way. He's the permanent way. You say, I'll never believe it. Nevertheless, he'll never be anything less than the way to God the Father. And may I say to you today, he's the only way. He's the only way. You say, well, I believe there are many ways. Nevertheless, he is the only way to the Father. Amen. If you can come to him today, he'll save your soul. Amen. You can come to him, he won't cast you out. Save your soul. You say, oh, but I'm so unworthy. Yes, you are. But Jesus won't cast you away. He won't turn you away. Won't you be saved today? We that are children of God, may we always remember that no matter what circumstances may appear, God is never anything less than God.
Amen, brother.
He's never anything less than the sovereign ruler of this world.
Amen, brother.
And I'll never be anything less than a child of God.
Amen.
Oh, I fail, I sin, you fail. You sin, but isn't it great that we're nevertheless the children of God?
Amen,
bless you.
Amen. 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 Amen.